for off-roading with family. For on-road luxury, let the adventure begin in an ultimate camper. No trip is complete without Didgeridoo's quality jackets, insulated bags and more, designed to last a lifetime. See the range at eagleoutdoors.com.au.
Sydney's Hope 1032.
Towards Understanding with Clayton Bielan values being a positive radio program for everyone. As we present today's episode, please accept this little ears warning. Some of the themes discussed may not be suitable for children.
This is Towards Understanding. I'm Clayton Bielan, and across Australia and New Zealand, it is wonderful to be able to have a conversation with you today about addiction. We've heard from Tim Costello around gambling addiction, and Joe Huiarama is going to be having a chat to us around some other addictions that occurred, which did include gambling addictions for him. And we are so thankful, Joe, that you are willing to talk to us about this topic. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, great. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Joe, we can tell, you know, I've got the Aussie accent, you've got that Kiwi accent, so it's wonderful that as we talk across Australia and New Zealand, we can have this conversation. Take us back, for you there was multiple addictions that did occur in your life. Take us back to how it first started and this sort of addictive concepts that weren't healthy for you began.
I went through, I put myself into a rehab six years ago, and a lot of the stuff that we dug up and looked into, I didn't even realize all these other things that were in some way an addiction. So probably from my childhood. I sought comfort in food. And then probably in my early teens, or very early teens, I probably started drinking. And later teens, smoking marijuana. And probably into my 20s and 30s, class A drugs. And it was probably in my 30s that I was introduced to ice or meth. And that was probably the, And I was stuck in that for 22 years. Picked up the gambling probably 7 years ago, a year before I went into the rehab. And I was just, well, I was really in a bad place. I was once again out of work and had no real, I was just on the dole, on the benefit, just scraping by. But, I started hanging out with other meth users that were actually into the gambling. And so, just sort of picked it up from there and just thought, oh, yeah, it could be another way or means possibly of making money so I can buy my drugs. But, with the gambling, it's always, you're always chasing it. But I found, when I started that gambling, it was like the pokey machines, the lights, the sounds, it just all draws you in. And it's just like, wow, it's just a whole other... I even would have those sounds playing in my head and I was at home, sitting at home, and I would hear all the bells and whistles. But like I said, I went to the... so it was just something that I just picked up later on. And I went through the rehab, like I said, 6 years ago, and dug up a whole lot of stuff. And so a lot of my behavior, I suppose, was fueled by my adoption. That was the underlying stuff, the abandonment and rejection stuff.
And so, what age were you adopted? Yeah. What age were you adopted, John?
I was adopted at seven months old. So I was with my mother for the first 7 months. But what I also learned was there's a book I read called Primal Wound, and it talks about the baby in the womb having that connection with the mother. You feel all her emotions and everything. And then when I was separated from her at 7 months, that's my trauma right there, the separation from my mother. So even though I was only 7 months old, I didn't know, because I couldn't speak, but I knew the feeling. And that was the feeling that stuck with me, and that fear of rejection or abandonment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. As you sort of then walked that, and you said it was sort of early in your teens that this first of sort of those addictions, and maybe even earlier with food, came about. What was it that I suppose being addicted to something provided for you? Do you think in trying to fill that hole, as it were?
Oh, definitely. It was like I said, when I started to eat more food. I found comfort in food because growing up in my adopted home, there was no love. I cannot remember my adopted mother ever hugging me or telling me she loved me. And the only words that were spoken into my life was, you're a no-hoper. You'll never amount to anything. You're good for nothing. So these are the lies that I believed. So once I found out I was adopted, I was about age eight years old, I think I was. And then I'd start to believe, okay, I'm unwanted. I'm a mistake. There's something wrong with me. Those are my core lies. There's something wrong with me. But those are just lies. But they were the lies that for, because I didn't go to the rehab till I was 52 or 53 years old. Those were the core lies of me just thinking, that's why, okay, I'll become that person. That's the person I became. The guy that always didn't care, just behaved badly, done all the bad things. And that's all I thought I was worth.
Yeah.
All I deserved. But like I said, those were the lies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those are the lies.
Yeah, for sure.
But now there's truth in my life. Because the rehab I went to is a Christian rehab. So, like I said, I encountered God there. And it changed my life. Changed my life. But those lies are all gone now. So, yeah. I don't know what else.
That's wonderful. It's
do
wonderful.
You have any questions?
Yeah, I do indeed. Yeah. I've got plenty, Joe. I'd love to know more and more as you kept going, and I suppose, you know, food became drinking, alcohol became some drugs, became to that meth, which is, you know, such a...
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you survived 22 years on meth and didn't something go wrong is quite remarkable in itself, because it's such a destructive force.
Yes, it is.
Was each of those moments about trying to find comfort? Was that what you were searching for in each of those times, like what it was at the start, or did it change to be something else?
I suppose, a lot of it, there was just like, it numbed a lot of things, I suppose, and took away, or just, it was a distraction, took away thinking about those, about all the terrible things that had happened,
And when we zoom forward to the rehab, what was the reason to step into rehab? What made you actually go, I need to leave this behind?
No. Okay, I'll tell you. So I was living by myself, and I had moved away from my family to a whole new, I suppose they call it provinces here, but over there you would call them states. I moved to another area code, I suppose, and I thought, I've got a job there. So I couldn't get a job in my old town. I've lost so many jobs through my addiction. I'm an electrician, and I could never be able to get a job. So I moved to another whole new area code, got a job, and thought, it's going to be so much better. I'm moved away from all those people that have hurt me and all those people that I have hurt, and I'm going to make a fresh start and got a new job, and I don't know anyone in the drug world or in this new area. But it was just a matter of time. It was only just a matter of time, because I thought I was running. I was just running. But you got to deal, wherever I go to, I'm carrying my baggage with me. And you're just never going to grow or come out of it unless you deal with it. So I found myself once again, I moved to this new area code, lost my job, was full of shame. I couldn't tell my family. And I got back on the drugs, even though I could only barely afford it. But I just found a way. And I just ended up I was alone. I felt alone. And I started to shut the curtains, lock the door, turn my phone off. I started to really shut myself off from others, isolate. And it's something new to me. I didn't really sort of do that, but I couldn't reach out to my family and tell them what I was going through. But and then I thought, what is this? I'm starting to experience these different feelings and I thought, am I becoming depressed? Because I've never been diagnosed with depression, but I thought maybe I'm becoming depressed or starting to be in a depressed state or something. So I got scared. Actually, I got scared, because the only thing I knew about depression can lead to suicide. That's all I hear on the news. People, they're committing suicide because they're depressed and stuff, and you hear a lot of that. So I rang a helpline, 0800 helpline, and then they got me onto some counselling with the Salvation Army, and then the Salvation Army got me into this Christian rehab. So that's how I ended up. So I was pretty much scared I was really scared. Yeah.
Remarkable that you took some, you took some remarkable action out of that, Joe, which I think is really inspiring for others who might be thinking something similar. That and reaching out to somebody, often people are wanting to help as you show that interest.
Definitely. Yeah. Just help's always there. You just have to ask. But like I said, I was too to ask my own family for help. I was too ashamed. Too much shame. Shame, that's a powerful stronghold that can just hold you stuck, Shame, guilt.
Joe, I want to also ask you, so you went through rehab, things changed. It's been a number of years, as you said, sort of 6 years or so since rehab. And my understanding is that you haven't fallen back into that drug addiction. That's something. And what about the other sort of gambling and things like that? Has that been something you've been able to leave behind?
Yes. I did lapse on the meth once, but that was like a lapse. It wasn't a relapse.
Yep.
It was just a lapse. And I was able to go to my support team and confess up and, bring it, didn't hide it, brought it into the light, and I truly believe that I had to go through that.
Yeah.
Just to see that it could all be taken away, just like that. That rug could be just gone, boom, straight under your feet if I chose to remain in that and relapse, But no, I haven't been back to the gambling.
I just wanted to say, I also wanted to say that, you talked about it being sort of a Christian-based rehab. What has that meant in terms of a faith connection for you as you've sort of stepped through that? Has that had an impact in your own faith life at all?
Oh, yes, definitely. I have a faith. I have a relationship with God. I have a relationship with others in the church, other faith people. I call them faith people, people that are for you. So I did seem to surround myself with people like that. Now, I'm still living in the same area as the rehab. I haven't relocated back to home, but over the last year or so, I'm getting homesick to go home. And I know now that I'm strong enough to go home and say no, and I don't have to please others, because I used to be a people pleaser. I couldn't say no. And I hated to hear no, so I would just do things that I didn't want to do, but I'd do it just to, not to feel rejection.
Yeah.
So now I can just say no. I don't have to strive for anyone's love and acceptance. I'm already loved. I know I'm loved. And God told me He loved me. That was my encounter, so that's me.
Yeah, that's wonderful, Joe. As we just wrap up our time, I want to ask you too, for somebody who may be in part of the journey that they've been hearing you, and maybe they're at that point where they're saying, look, I'm addicted to whatever it might be. Maybe it's meth, maybe it's gambling, maybe it's whatever it is. But I want to change.
Yeah.
I don't want this to control my life anymore. We talked about, you rang a helpline. What's your best encouragement to somebody who might be in that situation right now? What should they be doing and choosing, I suppose?
Talk to someone. Maybe go along to a church and then get connected in the church. A lot of these churches, they have outreach programs where they're quite happy just to step into that space and support you and help you. I can only speak from my experience of through the faith. I've known I've heard other stories where people have come out of addiction without even, you know, having a faith. But for me, I can just only talk about what I've experienced and how, yeah. But yeah, just talk to, reach out. Reach out. Don't give up. Keep going. Help is there. Just got to ask.
Joe, it has been just wonderful having a conversation with you. Thank you for being so open and honest about your journey, and I'm sure that that's going to help so many who are listening. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, Clayton, it's been a privilege. So thank you. Thank you. I'm glad that we were able to buddy connect. And, I hope God has turned my mess into a message. So I just hope that someone out there will hear this and,
love that.
Who knows?
Love it.
Maybe a seed might.
plant and grow. Joe, here you are, my guest on Towards Understanding. Joe, thanks again.
No worries. Thank you.
Joe Huirama, my guest here on Towards Understanding on this special gambling addiction and sort of addiction special we're doing today. On the way in a couple of moments' time, AFL great Australian footy player legend David Schwartz is going to talk about his addictions to gambling and his process out of that as well. Stay with us here on Towards Understanding.
Eagle Outdoors, campus specialists, give back to the community through local and international charities and foundations. So choose program sponsor Eagle Outdoors first. Discover Australia in a blue water camper perfect for off-roading with family. For on-road luxury, let the adventure begin in an ultimate camper. No trip is complete without Didgeridoo's quality jackets, insulated bags and more, designed to last a lifetime. See the range at eagleoutdoors.com.au.
Hope 103.2.
Here's a story about two stories from station sponsor Spannenberg & Son. David and Jenny wanted to help their son and daughter-in-law by having them move in with them, but space was limited, especially with the new baby. Spannenberg suggested the perfect solution, a first floor addition. With in-house design and approvals, plus their personal site project manager, it was a convenient one-stop shop. Add a story to your story. Inquire today to get your personal appraisal at yourhomeextension.com.au.
A sponsorship on Hope 103.2 is a great way to promote your product or service, but we're biased, so perhaps it'd be better to hear it from one of our sponsors. Here's Pete from 1-800-SHUTTERS.
People do hear the sponsorship and respond. I get feedback all the time from listeners. I've been parked at traffic lights only to hear my catchphrase from the car beside me. Ooh, he's a good boy.
Find out how you can get similar results. Contact our sponsorship team today. Visit hope1032.com.au.
Hope 1032.
Darling, darling, I'll turn the lights back on now. Watching, watching, as the credits all roll down. And crying, crying, you know we're playing to a full house, house. No heroes, villains, one to blame. While wilted roses fill the stage. And the thrill is gone. Our debut was a masterpiece. But in the end, for you and me, hold this show, it can't go on. We used to have it all, but now's our curtain call. So hold for the applause. Oh, 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 oh. And wave out to the crowd and take our final bow. Oh, it's our time to go, but at least we stole the show. 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 You know that we are sold out. This is fading. but the band plays on now. We're crying, crying, so let the velvet roll down, down. No heroes, villains want to blame, while the zero is still the stage. And the thrill is gone. Our debut was a masterpiece. Our lines we read so perfectly, but the show, it can't go on. We used to have it all, but now's our curtain call. So hold for the applause, oh, 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 oh. And wave out to the crowd and take our final bow. Oh, it's our time to go, but at least we stole the show. Oh, at least we stole the show. Ooh, at least we stole the show.
Songs that encourage you through the day, plus the ones you know and love. Hope 103.2.
My guest on Towards Understanding, as we tell the stories and hopefully step towards a better understanding of how we can combat addictions or perhaps the culture of addiction in our society. It's great to be able to welcome AFL great, one of the best Australian footy players going around over the past decades, David Schwartz. David, thanks so much for joining us on Towards Understanding.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problems at all. It's great to talk to you about your life too, David. And interestingly, people might be thinking, oh, we're about to talk footy for the next little while. We probably won't actually touch on much of footy because there's a lot of other things that happen in your life, which I reckon probably even yourself would say have impacted your life a whole lot more and made you maybe the person you are today more than even footy. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, absolutely. Look, football gave me opportunities, which normal everyday life probably wouldn't have been able to present me with. But what has happened along the journey from being a young man and all the way to now is a byproduct of footy, but really separated from footy, which was a huge gambling disease and other issues going on in my life. So absolutely, footy enabled me to be who I am today, but the influences that have made me who I am are probably far greater than those that ever produced on the football field.
Yeah. You've written a book too, which has come out recently called All Bets Are Off, and you know, incredibly vulnerable to actually telling your story, David. And, you know, a lot of people might be willing to just say, no, I'm not going to tell this story, but you've got a heart to actually share what's going on in your life in the aim of hoping to help some other people. I'm sure that's the case. You put a lot, not necessarily everything, but a lot of what you went through back to an incredibly sad incident with your father at the age of 8. Would you share that with us?
Yeah. Mum and Dad separated probably 6 months to a year before, and they were just having a break. And I guess when you're a young family, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. Dad was a chef. Mum was working as a clerk, and you know, we're trying to make ends meet. We're living in Beechworth at the time, and Dad had moved to Mount Beauty to become a chef, and he started seeing another lady, and she'd just recently broken up with her husband, and during the school holidays, I got the opportunity to go up and see Dad, and we're going to go fishing, and loved doing all that, and I got woken early one morning at about 4:35 o'clock, and Dad had been shot. Her ex-partner had walked in, and I woke to him and the gunman and his ex-wife fighting in the front of the bedroom, and I was lucky enough to get out through one of the surgeries and alert the police what had happened. And you know, from that day on, I grew up without Dad, and I think that had a huge influence on the person that I became. I was probably naughty. I was probably a little bit out of control. I was always pretty good at sports, so that came easy, but you know, I didn't have a
growing up with a single, you know, mum being a single parent, it was a different upbringing, but she provided for us and gave us every opportunity in life. So I don't begrudge anything that's happened. It's just one of the things that did make an effect on me, probably much greater than I ever thought. So I got help a long way down the track.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's something certainly in your book as well that you talk about, David, the fact that you were willing to actually, you know, get that help. And it did take, you know, decades literally for that. And, you know, there's a number of kids who have lost a parent, but not many who would, in such an incredibly sad, dramatic circumstance as that you've gone through. There must have been trauma that did, you know, just go into you as you went through that. It was about the age of, I'm told, about 15 that you started gambling. Is that right? Do you sort of link the two at all?
Yeah, look, I tell you, I remember Dad had lost a lot of money before he stopped, before he passed away, and I think he lost about $39,000. Mum, we sold a house for $13,000, so he lost three homes. Mm. And I remember Mum saying, "Don't gamble. You know, maybe you don't gamble because this is what can happen." And at the age of eight, you don't understand it. And then I went to the trots when I was 14, and I had a win. I won $60 and gave, put on the table. I said to Mum, "How good's that?" And straight away, I saw the funeral. I was thinking, "Gee, David's going to, you know, he's going to follow the same footsteps as what Dad did." And I did. I followed that at the age of 32, and I gambled every day of my life. So, I blew. I blew everything that I earned. I never got to play football without being under the influence of gambling. I ostracized myself away from everybody. I hung out with idiots. I made really poor decisions. I was selfish. I was everything that I didn't want to be because I know that Mum put a, you know, Mum really had her beliefs installed in us, but I just shut them away and shut them down. And the only thing I did right was I went back and went to school and finished up year 12 and did a Bachelor of Science and then a Master's of Marketing. So at least I became educated, but I just picked up a lot of bad habits and a lot of mistakes along the way. Mm.
I'm wondering, as you went through that, and you know, I noticed as I read your stories in your book too, that even now you can recall all those wins, you know, the time that you had the wins, it was on that horse, it was on this thing or whatever it might be. You can remember, you know, how many lengths they are ahead, this or that or whatever it might be. And, you know, we hear that story a lot, that gamblers especially, they forget about the losses, but they highlight on the wins. Is there an element even today, you know, you're certainly reformed, but we'll talk about that a bit more as well, but an element today that there is still a lure to gambling for you?
Yeah, there is. Look, I remember every bit I've had, win or loss. I've got a photographic memory for statistics and numbers, and which drives me beneficial, but more often than not, it's just a waste of space upstairs for me. I'd rather remember, you know, how many kicks I had in round 15 of 1997, which I don't remember, but I remember the gambling stuff. So it probably highlights just the passion that I had for it and the influence that it had over my life. I remember all my wins, but I'm glad I remember the losses because I now remember how I felt when I did lose. Mm. Like, it almost became numb. When I was punting heavy, I was turning over $250,000 on a weekend, and
boy,
it only takes a bad month or a bad couple of months, and you can wipe away a lifetime of earnings. So, you know, I was really lucky to get a second chance. I stumbled across this young lady that was living overseas, and it was originally from Melbourne, and she walked into my life, and you know, she basically pulled me out of the mess I was in and dragged me by the ears and took me to glory. So she was, I don't know if Dad sent her down or what happened. Someone certainly was looking at me from above and giving me second chance in life.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, Karen is who you're talking about, your wife now, and you know, she really did do the hard road as well. You know, I mean, to the nth degree of literally only giving you cash that you're allowed to take as you went somewhere. You had to prove a receipt that, you know, that's what you'd spent it on lunch and these sorts of things. Sometimes it's the hard things that people who are around you, you know, who love you, are willing to do, which is actually going to make the difference, isn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, she'd get up every morning, go to the letterbox, get the Herald Sun, take the form and the race results out, put it back in the letterbox, jump back into bed. Then I'd get up an hour later, I'd get the paper and the race results and the form was taken out. So that was my first taking away the first temptation of the day for me. So I'd bring my car home, she'd take it, fill it up with petrol, bring it back. We did that for nearly 3.5 years. So she made a lot of sacrifices. And then the ultimate for me was, you know, she dragged me to counselling. I went and saw a lady named Jan Beams, who I think she's a granddaughter of Percy Beams and the niece of Keith Miller. She understood sportsmen. She understood, you know, the behaviours that we have, which are, you know, we're adrenaline junkies. We, you know, we're risk takers. And I sat down with her, and because after I'd given up gambling, I'd taken up smoking. And I was trying to get hypnotised to get off the smokes, and she said, I think we've got a few things to deal with before we give up your smoking. So we went through Dad and what happened there, because as a family, we'd never spoken about Dad. And we got to the bottom of that, and then we got off the smokes, and then I took up the coffee drinking. I was having 20 doubles a day, and then we got off the coffee, and now I'm drinking tea. So it's been a slow process. It has been hard, but, you know, it's good to, I can happily say now I fill up my own car with petrol. I've now got more of an electronic that I can play with. I've even got a credit card, a debit Visa card, which was very exciting the day I got that. Yeah. I think Dennis Cometti was getting pretty upset that he had to put his credit card over the counter for me when we stayed in hotels when we were travelling in the state. And, so, yeah, it was just little steps, embarrassing, but, you know, Clayton, I wouldn't trade it for one thing at the moment. Yeah. So I'm really content and happy, and things are good.
Yeah, and making an impact too, mate. I think that's the big thing, you know, through a book, through your willingness to talk, you can just inspire so many other people. A few things left I just want to touch on. You know, here at this radio station, David, a big thing we talk about, in fact, it's one of our lines in our messaging, you know, good friends, great music, a message of hope. Hope is so important in life to actually be able to hold on to. There's a way forward in that. Can you just paint, I suppose, a picture for us? Was there actually ever a time where you felt hopeless in your gambling? Or perhaps was it always you were sort of a bit deluded in that regard? And then maybe the moment you realised that and you realised, hey, there's a bit of hope here. What was the transformation for you?
Yeah, look, I think with punters, and I deal with 50, on average, 50 ongoing problem gamblers at any one time. And the stories are very similar in many respects, but the behaviours are completely different. And how they get to that one point is completely different. For me, I always had hope. I always had belief. I always had this amazing optimism. No matter how bleak things were, and, you know, whether I'm borrowing $5 off mum for lunch or if I had no money, I always believed that I could get my way out of trouble. But the one point where I just knew it was wrong, where I knew that I'd sunk as low as I could go, was I'd borrowed $1,000 off my father-in-law for my son's christening. And but at the same time, I'd bet $5,000 on a race that I'd had hidden away. And I remember thinking to myself, gee, if I can borrow $1,000 from my son's christening, which is the most, one of the most important days of my life, my family's life, my friend's life, you know, I can go and bet $5,000 on a race at Port Augusta. You know, things are seriously out of whack here. And,
yeah,
and fortunately for me, the horse lost. It was a stupid race. We were four in front with 200 to go, and the horse, my chucky whipped it, she didn't need to, ran through the inside running rail, the horse falls over and dies, and she hurt herself. And I remember thinking, you know, is this worth it? And I walked in, and from that day on, we never gambled again. So that, for me, was the lowest, you know, that I'm borrowing money when I'm, for my son's christening, yet I've got money hidden away, and I'm not willing to put that towards him. So I went from being a selfish individual to a family person in an instant, and that was where the hope was. And I remember sitting down with Karen, and we decided to give up. I want to say we're a team. We decided to make that change. It was the most relief, the calmest I'd felt in probably 15 or 16 years. And since that day, you know, we've had our ups and downs, and marriages aren't just blissful, and you just don't click every second of the day. We're really battled, but we work hard together, and we ride the bumps, and I still go to counselling on a regular basis. So I've got a session tomorrow morning. And that's just to make sure that, you know, that this addiction that I've got doesn't rear its ugly head, because I've always been at it. And it's the time that I relax and I become comfortable, I know that it's, you know, I know that it probably won't rear its head. But, you know, if tragedy strikes and I lose my job, or, you know, things get tough, that's when the addiction will poke its head up and say, hang on a minute, I'm still here. Well, I know I've got to be ready to tackle that. So putting roadblocks in place to ensure that that doesn't occur.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to truly, I reckon, inspire people to just be thinking about maybe where they're at with whatever addiction maybe they're going through at the moment too. David, last question I want to throw to you, and I suppose I actually want to leave it with what's your message to people who perhaps are in a similar situation for you as well. But one thing I noticed, and you know, I went through the book in about 24 hours, just absolutely loved what you were providing and giving to us, opening up about your life story. It was the one thing that I noticed for you, and maybe correct me if you think I'm wrong here, was that words meant an awful lot to you. That, you know, sometimes it was actions, people wanted you to change, whatever it might be, but it was often a specific word, one moment that actually impacted you. Maybe it was, you know, after your dad's death, you said, right, I'm not going to cry anymore, and you just made that decision. Someone came up to you on the footy field and said, mate, you're doing so well, and that's what actually made you say, all right, well, I'm going to work a bit harder from this. I just needed that thing. And even, you know, to actually stop the punting, it was a moment of someone coming and saying, mate, what's going on here? Do you recognise that words have a massive impact for you?
Huge. Yeah. And unbelievably. You know, I can sit on radio and you talk all day, and then all of a sudden someone will say something and you go, gee, that is so true. That is so, so the right thing to say at the right time. And, you know, I've never been a wordsmith. I've never been really good at expressing myself, but I never forget when someone, you know, says something that actually changes your life. You know, my mate walked in on me after that race and said to me, you know, you've got a family now, pull your head in. Now, and I tried to give up gambling, and I tried it 100 times and could never get off it. And it's just, you know, little things that people say at the right time, and don't try to overcomplicate it. And when I'm talking with punters or with anyone with addiction, you can't talk down to them. You've got to actually, you're more of a listening guide or a listening device for them to actually find the words themselves. And I think radio is very similar. You know, if you're doing talkback radio, it's about them. It's not about you. And if you can put your ego in your pocket, and you know, take the mickey out of yourself occasionally, I think the punters or the well, not the punters, I shouldn't use that word, but the listeners enjoy that. Now they know that they're a part of your team, and you're not talking down to them. And I think that works. So, no, words are crucial. Words are absolutely essential in, you know, in change.
We've taken up far too much of your time already, David. So, last one. Is there a message? Someone who's perhaps going through a situation that they find themselves in, something similar to you. Maybe it's not necessarily gambling. Maybe it's another sort of addiction. You know, there's addictions to all sorts of things, everything from gambling to the booze to, you know, I'm just eating myself to death. Someone who's sort of feels like there's this moment of, I can't change this. It's just who I am. What's your message to them today?
Message is, and I remember what Karen said to me, she said, are you being honest with yourself? And it was as simple as that. And I kind of said, no, I'm not actually. You know, I'm lying to you, I'm lying to Mum, I'm lying to everybody. But more importantly, I'm lying to myself. If you can be honest with yourself about your addiction or about anything in life, if you can be honest with yourself, you'll find the answer. Mm. Or you'll surround yourself with the right people. Because you know that if you're hanging around with idiots, you know in your own heart that it's not good for you and it's not good for your family. So you hang around dogs, you catch fleas. Mum's always said that to me. You hang around bad people, you make bad decisions. You hang around good people, you make good decisions. And if you're honest with yourself, those people will come naturally to you.
Yeah. Fantastic stuff. Well, look, thanks so much for putting yourself on the line for the book. All bets are off. Thanks so much for spending some time with us today, sharing your story as well. We thoroughly appreciate it.
Thanks, Clayton. Have a great day.
Eagle Outdoors, camper specialists, give back to the community through local and international charities and foundations. So choose program sponsor Eagle Outdoors first. Discover Australia in a blue water camper perfect for off-roading with family. For on-road luxury, let the adventure begin in an ultimate camper. No trip is complete without Didgeridoo's quality jackets, insulated bags and more, designed to last a lifetime. See the range at eagleoutdoors.com.au.
Here we go again. Energise, strap yourselves in for Series 3 of She Wasn't Born Yesterday. I'm Janet.
And I'm Amelia, and we'll be chatting with some amazing guests.
Starting with Professor Georgina Long, Co-Medical Director of Melanoma Institute Australia, about how to save our skins.
And from Australian of the Year to Financial Planner of the Year expert, Michelle Stone explains how to boss your money.
We talk to a mental health GP about all things ADHD.
And the very sobering topic of women abused by clergy.
And so much more. She Wasn't Born Yesterday, new series, starts October on Apple Pods, Spotify or the Hope 103.2 app. We look forward to your company.
We care about the same people you do. Places are available in our Early Learning Centre for kids 6 months to 6 years, as well as our Retirement Village providing independent living for over 55s, and in residential aged care, including dementia and end-of-life care. A community of all ages in the heart of Marion. Visit holyfamilyservices.com.au to find out more. Station sponsor Holy Family Services. We care about the same people you do.
So, how's your quote going for your frames and trusses?
Still waiting.
Try MCM Frame and Truss.
Why?
Well, they're quick to respond with competitive quotes and have great standard inclusions like termite-treated timber.
Sounds like MCM Frame and Truss really know how to keep it simple.
For a quick turnaround of your quote with great standard inclusions at competitive prices, the choice is simple. Visit mcmframes.com.au. Station sponsor.
Hope
103.2.
To the only man that I love.
1032.
This is Towards Understanding. We're coming towards the end of the program. Thanks so much for stepping through us through this past few hours where we focused around addiction. Gambling addiction, what it does especially. We heard a bit with Joe Huirama around this idea that for him, gambling addiction came as he stepped into drug addiction and more drug addiction, and it led to a whole lot of other addictions with that. We heard from David Schwartz, AFL Footy, great, about his gambling addictions. We heard from Tim Costello talking about the impact, the devastating impact of pokies and also online sports betting as well, happening especially in Australia, also happening in New Zealand, but a focus especially in Australia and the just lack of regulation that seems to be. And part of this program, in fact, the reason it's called Towards Understanding is that we want to give you a moment to reflect. And so firstly, just really quickly, we're going to do it in two parts. And maybe you've taken something and I want you to hold on to that and work through whatever that is in your life. But quickly, for those who are struggling with some sort of addiction, I think the message we've heard over and over and over again, David, Joe, Tim, has all been about this idea that, hey, to change where you're at, you've got to talk to somebody. Start by talking to somebody. Acknowledge what's happening to yourself and then talk to somebody. And I think if you take one thing away, if you're struggling with some sort of addiction, don't let it control you, but it starts not by saying, well, I'm going to suddenly do this and this and this and this and this, but it starts by talking to somebody. So asking for help, and somebody can walk with you and then help you through that. Would you talk to somebody? I think the other reflection I have it from a cultural perspective is, hey, when you have the moments, step in the gap here and say, this is not okay. This online sports betting is just not okay, unregulated the way it needs to be. This idea and this concept of pokies on every other street corner is just not okay. It's unfair for society generally. And so in those moments that you have those opportunities to speak to an MP or to talk to someone in authority around this, let them know that you're passionate about that, because ultimately it will be helping all of society, and specifically those who are struggling and perhaps in the margins of society at the moment. There's a couple of reflections I had. Maybe you had others as well. Do keep mulling over on that. It's the heart of Towards Understanding. And a reminder that you can listen to some more of these interviews during the week. We'll put out more interviews on the podcast. Just look for Towards Understanding, Spotify, Google, Apple, wherever you might get it, your podcast. You can listen to them in completely for free. Check out all the past episodes as well. Just look for Towards Understanding. I'll chat to you again next week.
Eagle Outdoors, camper specialists, give back to the community through local and international charities and foundations. So choose program sponsor Eagle Outdoors first. Discover Australia in a blue water camper perfect for off-roading with family. For on-road luxury, let the adventure begin in an ultimate camper. No trip is complete without Didgeridoonas quality jackets, insulated bags and more, designed to last a lifetime. See the range at eagleoutdoors.com.au.
Hope 103.2, with you in the hustle and bustle of life.
When you go solar with SolarHeart, you'll join the smart Aussies lowering their energy bills with every sunrise. And right now, you can save up to $1,000 on SolarHeart solar power systems, including our revolutionary new Silhouette bifacial panels with a SolarHeart 30-year Australian warranty. To save up to $1,000 today and reduce your energy bills for years to come, get smart. Get SolarHeart. Terms and conditions apply.
Station sponsor.
Hope 103.2. Hope 103.2.
Well, that's it for me on Towards Understanding. However, if you've missed any of our interviews today or indeed over the past weeks, you can listen to the back catalogue just by finding the podcast completely for free. You can follow it for free wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google, or any of the platforms that it's on. Just check it out right now, Towards Understanding. And in fact, we put out two stories each week, so there'll be a couple more coming this week as well. Just more great stories for you to listen to. Look forward Towards Understanding. And I'll chat to you again next week.
Stop and smell the flowers. Sorry. And listen to Hope 103.2. Could you pass me a tissue?
Well, Julie's had her scan and the baby's doing fine.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, she's being looked after really well at, what's the name of the place?
Specialist Ultrasound for Women Blacktown is a specialist diagnostic ultrasound centre for pregnancy and gynaecology. Their team includes an on-site obstetrician gynaecologist and female sonographers.
Specialist Ultrasound for Women Blacktown?
Yeah, that's the one.
Station sponsor, Specialist Ultrasound for Women Blacktown. Just Google Specialist Ultrasound for Women.
Here's Melissa Brown, principal at Covenant Christian School.
At Covenant, we know that Christian education in the early years makes a difference. We have the privilege of partnering with Christian families to form and shape the way a child will see the world right from the very start of schooling. We want our students to know that living with Jesus as Lord puts every part of life and education in its proper place. Come and see for yourself how a rigorous Christian education makes a difference, especially in the early years.
Station sponsor, Covenant Christian School.
Hope 103.2.
You're just like my favorite song going round and round my head. Like my favorite song going round and round my head.
5 days on the freeway, riding shotgun with you. Yeah. Two hearts in the fast lane, we had big dreams in blue. Yeah. Playing sweet child of mine, and I still feel that line. Where are you now? Where are you now? Hey, it's been too long. Too long ago, my love. Where did we go wrong? Too late to turn around. Where are you now? Where are you now? Hey, it's been too long. You're just like my favorite song going round and round my head. Like my favorite song going round and round my head. You're just like my favorite song going round and round my head. Like my favorite song going round and round my head. Hey, it's been too long. Some days I can feel it, but the feeling ain't all blue. You got me believing, one day you gotta come through. Lost in these city lights, 'cause I can't sleep tonight. Where are you now? Where are you now? Hey, it's been too long, too long ago, my love. Where did we go wrong? Too late to turn around. Where are you now? Where are you now? Hey, it's been too long. You're just like my favorite song going round and round my head. Like my favorite song going round and round my head. You're just like my favorite song going round and round my head. Like my favorite song going round and round my head.
Listen in. Listen closer.
Hope 103.2.
Sometimes I feel like I'm alone, a bit too broken, unseen, unknown. Sometimes the doubt starts creeping in. So come remind me once again.